Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with dedication to the local community. Visit them at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Everybody, welcome into Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Back at it on our usual Wednesday slot this week because adulting, we got that taken care of. So, Paul Russo, Nick Felice here with you as always. Nick, good to see you. It's been an interesting couple days in the sports world. We get to tackle at least one of those topics. How about it?
Yeah. I'm assuming you're talking about the NBA.
No, yeah.
but, yeah, I'm doing good, Paul. Little warmer out there right now, but, you know, it's a little rainy. Not your greatest day in the world.
I'd love to hear it.
But Friday should be decent. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Good to be back on Wednesday. Yeah. I think we got a good one here.
We do, yeah. So, recap the NFL, playoff weekend, divisional round over. We'll get to touch on the Baseball Hall of Fame. I have a couple takes that have been rewashed throughout the couple years we've been doing this that I get to spew.
That's right.
On this gold piece of paper, I have my college football statistics of the year.
Oh, finally.
As promised. And we'll talk about the NBA because Doc Rivers somehow with the job again, and we're letting Giannis off the hook apparently. So let's do the NFL first. Divisional round over. Your conference finals due up on deck. Ravens hosting the Chiefs and the 49ers hosting the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, let's take the step back to the last weekend, Nick. Begin on the Saturday front.
Feels so long ago.
Kind of crazy. Begin, obviously, with the Texans-Ravens game. Result-wise, what we expected. I thought the Texans still hung in there pretty good. But, yeah, the veteran stuff kind of showed through a little bit. It's kind of that collective veteran deal, right? Yeah. Maybe not necessarily just on the Lamar versus Stroud front, right? But kind of just throughout the team, right? That's a more veteran Ravens team. I think the Texans are the youngest team in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, Harbaugh versus, you know, Ryan's. You know, it's one of those things where it's just the older, more experienced, definitely at this time better team won that game.
Right now, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, this final score doesn't indicate how close that game really was because it looks like it was a blowout. But the Texans hung in there. You know, this is the one game I didn't really get too much to watch. I was working Saturday afternoon, so I didn't really get to watch this one much. But did see some of the highlights and the stats. And, you know, Lamar Jackson going to his first AFC championship game. Correct? Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
His first AFC title game. They look good, man. The little bit I did see, they're just good all sides of the ball. Obviously, it takes an army to take down Taylor Swift. Well, I mean, we all know that. But the Ravens, they look like the favorites. I mean, the Niners and the Ravens, it's looking like the Super Bowl. I hope that's not the Super Bowl because I think that'd be a boring Super Bowl, in my opinion, especially when we got some great headlines with the other two teams. Go Lions. But, yeah, I mean, the Ravens beat a Texans team that they're better right now. Texans are coming, though.
Yeah.
But then again, we said that about the Jaguars last year. So,
well, I'm not completely out on the Jags just yet, but they gave me more questions than answers this year in that space. All right, let's flip over to the nightcap Saturday night, Green Bay and San Fran.
Green Bay had it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they obviously in it longer than – I thought they were going to be as a bit of an undersell. You could make the case they outplayed the 49ers for, man, probably about 50-ish minutes of the 60 minutes of the game, to be completely honest. 49ers didn't leave me completely impressed. Their defense, obviously, is what kind of solved their issues, you know, Saturday. I don't want to be that guy, but again, some of the stuff with Brock Purdy that I've been trying to say all year kind of showed itself again. And, you know, maybe to be fair, right, you're dealing with a couple injuries still. I mean, Debo Samuel gets dinged up early on, and the little while he's still on the field isn't exactly 100%. The interesting part is how, and I know this is going to be hot take-ish in a way, but you have to look at from, in my mind, the statistical and now the way everything is just so integrated, the betting perspective. McCaffrey's been pretty quiet. Again, he still ends up having a good game Saturday, but like the numbers that you expect on McCaffrey were pretty held in check. The interesting part to me is, and this is more so, I think when we talk about the preview of the game coming up this weekend, is will the defense have enough gas? Now they had enough gas against Green Bay, which again, maybe not quite to the degree of Houston, but you had the experience factor kind of check in a little bit with Green Bay. Jordan Love did his Brett Favre impersonation, but we've heard that take a bunch now. It's just interesting to me that the one team early on that I was convinced was a juggernaut throughout the year lost faith in, kind of got some faith back at the end of the year. I just don't know if, and again, this portion maybe is more so for when we talk about this weekend, I just don't know if I have the faith in the 49ers anymore.
Yeah.
After this game. I really don't.
Yeah, it all comes down to Brock Purdy, man. I think he's a system quarterback. He's got a lot of great pieces around him. You put him on the Panthers, what does he do, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And, I mean, they lost in this game last year, the NFC Championship game. They got an uphill climb. I mean, you could talk about the Lions and the Chiefs all you want about their uphill climbs. They got one as well.
Yeah.
They got to get by a really good Lions team, and they got to get to the Super Bowl, something they haven't won since I don't remember. I can't remember the last 10 of the 49ers.
Niners?
It's been a long time since the 49ers.
Mid-90s, I guess, would be the case there. And since then, only, what, a couple appearances, right? So, yeah. Don't quote me on the year. I want to say maybe 95 or 96, maybe 95 or 96.
So they won after the Bills.
Yeah.
So they have that. Talk about, like, you know, the Cowboys and their drought. Niners got a pretty long drought as well. So they got a lot to prove, and they got the best running back in the game, in my opinion, in Christian McCaffrey. So that's a start. They got a little overrated defense. It's they look at him as one of the dominating defenses.
I mean,
I don't see it.
I don't disagree with that take, I don't think. But if I had to choose an overrated piece, I'm not even going near that defense, because they're the least of my worries on the team. I mean, I think the offense right now is the overrated portion of it, but you know.
But you like Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good number two. It's interesting. If he were to go on our team, I don't know if he'd be a one, but, you know, for what they need him to do when Debo's out, yeah, I mean, he's a solid.
I know you got Nick Chubb number one running back, but do you like Christian McCaffrey?
I mean, yeah, I've always liked him. I mean, my big thing with him has always just been injuries. I mean, he just can't stay on the field. Now, this year was kind of the first year he was actually able to stay out on the field the whole time. Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Chubb's one. It's interesting, though. Who do I go in this hypothetical space, though, after Chubb? Part of me still wants to lean Derrick Henry, but
that's a good pick.
I mean, see, the other thing, too, is, like, when Barkley's healthy, I mean, in my mind, he's not far behind Chubb.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I know it probably sounds a bit, you know, sacrilegious saying it in this way, but, like, I think I have McCaffrey in my top three. She's probably right about that fifth spot. Fourth or fifth.
And there's a reason you haven't won a fantasy championship in a while. So
calm down. Never won one anyway either.
But anyway.
Easy.
Green Bay's in the same situation as the Texans. And, you know, very young team. Green Bay lost the game pretty similar to Tampa Bay. You know, last drive, they needed a lot to happen. Baker and Jordan Love both threw a pick there, you know, just trying to force something. But game ends the same way. But this Green Bay team's coming. But like I said, we said that about the Jaguars last year.
You mentioned Baker. Let's transition to that game. It was the first game on Sunday.
What a scene
Tampa
there.
In Detroit. Yeah, I mean, if there is the one good feel-good story still in the playoffs, it's got to be Detroit. Now, to be fair, both of us did pick Tampa Bay to win last week. But it's kind of like one of those, we were wrong. But, yeah, that game looked like a minute was going to kind of maybe follow the same path that Detroit had Super Wild Card weekend against the Rams. Didn't. Obviously, in the long run, it didn't become the shootout that the Rams game was. But nonetheless, it's a nice storybook kind of going here still for Detroit. Now, it's interesting because Tampa Bay, the end of that game, and I understand what Todd Bowles meant by not using the timeout. It's a lot like in basketball when you're kind of down by, like, say, eight or nine with, like, that 30 seconds left, and, like, you could foul, but, like, realistically, you know, you're probably not going to do anything. I know football's a little bit different in that space. Like, I guess the odds of you missing the field goal, of them missing the field goal, your opposite team, and you being able to mount a charge is probably in that same breath as, like, missing both free throws at that point, and you're able to kind of cut that lead and keep going. But I think it's like a 50-50. Like, I understand some of the discussion on why he didn't do it, but I also understand the logic behind of why he didn't call it at the end of the day. Yeah, in that space, it's kind of funny. You have a little bit of the old Baker rhetoric come in, I think, at the end of that game. And I'm a big Baker guy. I thought, you know, again, unfairly out of Cleveland, weird journeyman year last year, played on three different teams or two different teams, whatever it was. Ends up in Tampa, somehow was in a in a quarterback battle to start the year. And, look, I think he solidified for sure, obviously, next year and the year after with Tampa. And that's a team that I think will be back in that same position next year.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of, I think, a rusher on Baker. I mean, they had a really good first play on that drive to get another first down and get going. And I think he just kind of fit the ball in a tight spot. And, you know, kind of tough because, again, he's also working with one timeout in that space. So you can't exactly waste a ton of time at that token, having to go length of the field. And obviously, at best, go for two and get it and tie it. Not get the win, but tie it. And that goes back to, obviously, the touchdown before where they go for two and don't get it. And, again, that decision for me is also like a 50-50. Like, I get it, but, like, personally for me, I think that's where I go against, even though I'm an analytics guy. I think I go against the analytics. I think you just take the one there and kind of don't really question and move on in that space.
Do you think Tampa Bay wasn't prepared? They thought they were playing outside?
No.
But, no, you know, Tampa Bay definitely proved a lot of people wrong these last couple weeks. You know, beating the Panthers, looking as bad as you could, 9-0 to win the division title in the last week. To beating the Eagles, you know, knocking off the NFC defending champs, to giving the Lions all they could handle. So, you know, Tampa Bay definitely proved some people wrong the last couple weeks. And this is a Tampa Bay team. I know people are a little surprised that Baker took him to the divisional round, unlike Tom Brady. But Tampa Bay franchise that's been to, I think, three of the last four divisional rounds, something like that. So they'll be back in that same position. Division hasn't gotten any better yet. So, yeah, they'll be back. Good win for the Lions, though. First time since 91 or something that they had won two playoff games in the same division, in the same playoffs. So, they're right there, man. They're one away, one win away from their first Super Bowl appearance in Lions franchise history, which is kind of crazy to think. But And it's really crazy that they've made it to the NFC Championship game in this century, and the Dallas Cowboys have not. And yet there are so many people back in the day that wanted the Lions off of Thanksgiving. I think we should get the Cowboys off of Thanksgiving.
Running that back for a second week in a row.
Yeah, I think we've seen enough of the Cowboys on the big holiday. I want to enjoy my holiday, so yeah. Or we'll just do a Lions doubleheader or something. The first ever football doubleheader.
Lions play the Vikings within an hour. That'd be good.
They'll be fine.
Sure. But out the window.
Good year by the Bucs. Prove some people wrong at the end. And Lions, this is a magical run that still going.
Mm-hmm. And then what was probably
game of the year?
I don't know about game of the week. I don't know about year. But yeah, week is probably the safe
game of the
bet.
Playoffs.
Sure, at the moment. Bills, Chiefs come away with the win.
In Buffalo.
Yeah. This one's interesting because around here, obviously locally, that's a little bit different headlines compared to nationally. There's a lot of things we could really get into here that we just don't think have the time for. But I guess I'll start here. And I know it's a hot take, you know, kind of here locally, but Josh Allen has to have some of the blame. I get he had a good game, no turnovers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but having 16 passes completed from behind the line of scrimmage ain't good. He had 4.8 yards per attempt. And then the final drive, I don't know what those throws were to the end zone, and this is where I put most of the blame. Not on Josh, but the coaching staff. Because in the regular season, what I call that is playing for the tie. And you never play for the tie. It's what I call, it's like the offensive equivalent of playing prevent defense for me. Because when you play prevent defense, you prevent yourself from winning the game. And I just don't understand. They were chipping away at the Chiefs that whole drive, 5 to 10 yards at a time. They were moving the ball perfectly. And then to take two, in my mind, dumb shots to the end zone to literally piss away your season, to me it's inexcusable. And look, I don't think there's a debate. Mahomes is better than Josh Allen, okay? But Josh Allen is a top, I'd probably put him third best quarterback in the league, in all honesty.
You got to give your second.
My second?
You gave your top three running back. Got to give your top three quarterbacks.
Joe Kitna. No. I mean, Mahomes is number one. I think number two.
Healthy Joe Burrow?
Nah, Joe Burrow's probably behind them.
Dak Prescott.
I mean, probably I'd go Lamar, as it stands right now, above Josh. I think Josh could have a case at two, but I don't know. A lot of it might be revisionist history next Tuesday next Wednesday when we talk, because who knows what might happen this weekend.
So Mahomes is better than Allen.
Well, the fact of the matter is, right, Josh Allen's window now still pretty open. He's not getting any younger. His body's not getting any healthier in that sense, if you catch my drift. And look, I know I'm very much so in the minority here. I think McDermott's got to go. I think he's gotten you as far as he can take this team with his coaching capabilities. And there's not a thing wrong with that. I go use another basketball analogy here for this. Doug Collins was able to get Michael Jordan into the Eastern Conference Finals twice. Couldn't get him any further. They brought in Phil Jackson, and it's a completely different story. Right? And Doug Collins was a damn good coach. And I'll tell you this, I don't know if he's as good as maybe the Doug Collins counterpart with McDermott, but there's very few better than him that I would rather have come in and coach my team for the most part. I can tell you that much, you know? It's just a matter of, I think there just needs to be a change of scenery or a change of culture thing at this point. And look, if you're going to run it back with McDermott, you're going to have to revamp that roster some way, shape, or form. It's got to be one or the other. Which one's going to be cheaper, quote-unquote? Which one's going to be better suited for the team? I think I don't think there's a ton of issues necessarily with the roster for the Bills at this point. I just think it's a matter of get a new coach in and run something here, because it's very apparent the Chiefs, you know, they know what they're going to do this offseason. I will put, no, I don't have a mortgage, but I'll put something large on the fact that they will go out and get some type of number one receiver this offseason. I don't know if it will be Mike Evans. I don't know if it will be a trade or something, or a guy like this. This part's crazy, what I'm about to say. But I could see a path of this potentially happen. Or say a guy like Stephon Diggs becomes available because the Bills have just had enough and have waived him. You know, there's always usually some type of – there's always a couple players that surprise you that end up on the waiver wire because they've been cut. Somebody like that becomes available, the Chiefs are going to snatch him up. That's pretty apparent right now. They can't run that receiving core back. Yeah. And I get Rashid Rice is good. I'm in fantasy. Like, I'm happy I was able to find him when I did early enough in the season. But he's not a number one. Marvis Valdes-Scantling definitely ain't number one. You know? Travis Kelce, I'm imagining he'll play next year, but he doesn't have many miles left in the tank. That's just the way football is. You know, this is a Chiefs team that they're going to retool in this offseason. You know the Bengals are going to be back next year with Joe Burrow. The AFC North ain't going anywhere. All four of those teams aren't going anywhere.
Great division, though.
I mean, and the funny part about it is, I say that even though Pittsburgh is the worst one in that division, and they still finished above 500 this year. Like, that's crazy. Well, a healthy team, they're the worst in that division, as it stands.
Yeah.
So, the AFC ain't getting any easier. It's definitely the better of the two conferences right now. So, if you're the Bills, there's a lot of reassessment going on at this point following this loss. I don't want to call it, like, game of, like, the franchise, if you will, but this was the game of your future. And now I think you have to answer some questions, you know?
Yeah, you really went into it.
But somebody has to around here. I don't mean to interrupt, but, like, if you can't – and, look, there are a few Bills fans I've talked to who they get it, right, where I mean by that, where it's like what happened Sunday has happened now in some way, shape, or form the past 4 years. And you can't just continuously – living that. It's literally playing in your own hell. Like, and the fact that, like, I'm going to say most of that fan base can't see that, or, and for that matter, and or most of the people covering that team can't really get over that. That's just not, if one, it's just not a good look. I'm being honest with you. But two, like, if that's just the way you want to live, fine. But I'd rather go out swinging and dying on the sword than just, like, accepting I'm about to get shot 20 times in the stomach and bleed to death.
Yeah, I see it in sports all the time. Just a team that's a good team, built right. That's what the Buffalo Bills are. But there's always that team that's just better than them. And the Chiefs, it's not just – I know they've beaten the Bills 3 times now in the playoffs.
And that's the thing, though, about this year, too. Like, were the Chiefs actually really the better team all year? No. But they were the better team that weekend.
Yeah, just not to say Sean McDermott's not a great coach, but – they're just – he got out-coached by Andy Reid. Andy Reid is – you can love him or hate him, whatever you want to think about him. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he got a dream with Patrick Mahomes a few years back now, and they're a dynasty. They are a dynasty that continues to just win big games. And there was question marks about Mahomes coming in this game, never played a road playoff game. He proved that, and he played well, and – they got the win in a tough environment. Yes, they've lost twice now at home in the divisional round. Last year's game was kind of, you know, it was the big snow game. Anything can happen in a snow game, I feel like, as much as they get used to the elements. But that's 2 years in a row now they've lost in the
don't
divisional.
Don't be saying that to Bills fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Home field advantage.
Yeah. But, yeah, 2 years in a row now, it sucks. It just, there's no other way to describe it. It sucks. To put all that effort in from, you know, from July when training camp starts and the warm weather.
It's St. John Fisher.
Yeah, St. John Fisher. And you go all the way to mid-January for this big game against, I guess it's a rivalry. You know, you're 0-3 in the playoffs. I just, not really a lot rivaling when it's lopsided like that in the playoffs. But anyway, it's just so much work you put into a season, and just to have it end like that. And I'm not blaming anything on Tyler Bass. I mean,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, he missed the kick. It wasn't his greatest kick of his career, but I mean, the way that game was going, unless they get near the end zone to fumble the ball, they would have definitely got it down there for Butker to get a winning game winning field goal after, I feel like. I feel like the Chiefs would have got it down there.
And that's what I mean by, like, that whole sequence was just wild because they were doing fine pace-wise, and then they decided to do those two shots to the end zone. It's like, okay, like,
and then also
giving them a lot of time.
One guy who almost caught that ball, it was like a 50-yard pass.
Yeah,
Diggs. No, it wasn't. It was Diggs, but there was the other one where the guy bounced.
Oh, Sherfield?
Yeah, it looked like he caught it.
He had to go out and dive, but yeah.
Yeah, he had to dive for it. That was another stupid play. I think that was first down.
Yeah.
Just some stupid play calling, really. And I mean, yes, I could see them making fire McDermott and maybe start a new culture there. But they were right there. That game was there for them to take. They could easily have won that game. They got a lot of breaks. You know, I don't think the rule in the end zone with the fumble should change. I heard people talking about that. I like that rule. So, no, I mean, there's a risk of reaching for the end zone. If you could fumble, it goes the other team in the end zone. So that's should not change. And, I mean, the Bills got some breaks. I mean, Josh Allen fumble.
That was one of them.
What, the Josh Allen fumble?
No, the touchback.
Yeah, the touchback was one break. The Josh Allen fumble that they recovered, bounced around, they got that break. The game was there. Mm-hmm. And sure, that's not McDermott. It's easy call. Kick the field goal, tie the game.
I mean, at that point, that's what you do. But I'm saying this, the lead up to it, just like.
Yeah, play golf
before. And that's the thing with this, too. It's like they were blame. Can't wait to see how they blame Ken Dorsey. I jokingly said that Sunday. But, like, it's accurate. Like, all year was this, like, weird thing, especially early on before they fired Dorsey, about, like, it was Dorsey's fault. Well, like. All of a sudden, that's been really quiet because when Josh is messed up or when McDermott or somebody else on the team is messed up in that space, it's been pretty quiet. And that just makes you wonder about what's really going on there.
If the Chiefs win this week against the Ravens, they have really proven something. That would be impressive.
Oh, I mean, I know they haven't done anything consecutive here, right? But, I mean, they're up there with the Patriots in terms of an our-lifetime dynasty-wise.
Never not been in this game.
Right.
The AFC title game.
Yeah.
It's impressive. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. They're great, but it's also that consistently good, not occasionally great
Houston
thing.
Houston Astros-esque.
Yeah.
Won it once.
Right.
Twice now. They've all won it twice. They're pretty similar to Houston.
But it's consistent.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
They're always going to be the ALCS, always going to be the AFC Championship game. Pretty similar franchises.
Right.
Did they cheat, though?
You never know. Not that I'm putting that out into the ether.
Yeah, I think we're calling the Chiefs cheaters.
Okay. Nick did that, not me. All right, let's talk about this weekend. This can also be combined with our quasi-picks here. Well, let's do the preview stuff before we outright do our picks. First game. The AFC Championship game, 3:00 window, Chiefs at the Ravens.
Can I get Sky Hansen on the call?
This is a pretty cool matchup. I think if Buffalo had won, right, this is going to be a cool matchup too, just because you have very similar styled quarterbacks, no matter which way you kind of look at it. And in the case here, you have what's been kind of quiet, really good Chiefs defense for the most part in the playoffs against what's been, people have really said is a great defense, but I don't necessarily agree with it looking at numbers, but a good defense in Baltimore against two offenses that I'd say Baltimore's clicks more consistently and Kansas City's seems to be they click when it's big time. I'm looking forward to this. You mentioned Andy Reid. You got, I mean, John Harbaugh, he's got to be up there in that conversation too at this point, admittedly.
Mm-hmm.
This is two just good football teams from the top down going at it to at least get an opportunity for the biggest title in football on the line Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Mark Andrews might play, leaning towards playing. Does it take?
You could say it's likely.
Does it all take? Yeah, likely. Good one.
Thank you.
To have a good team, does it just take to have a good tight end? Because you're looking at Kelsey, Andrews, LaPorta, and Kittle in the Final Four.
Sure. Well, as a Washington fan, I can tell you no.
Jordan Reed was good.
Jordan Reed, who was very good. Logan Thomas, not as good. So, yeah, and the team between those two has been bad. So it does not make a difference.
It's just coincidence, but
I'll shut that down on sight.
Jeremy Shockey was a good guy.
Good guy or good football player? What's your pick on this one, Nick?
Good football player.
Good, good. Have you retracted on that one a little bit?
This game is, they're going to be both great games, but this is going to be an interesting game because if the Ravens lose this game, how will this season be remembered? You know, there's a difference. John Harbaugh's been a great coach. Been a great coach for a long time. But it's been a while since the Ravens have been in this game. They just have really put it all together this year. Lamar Jackson's never made the Super Bowl. If they lose this game to, you know, this dynasty team that we're putting on the Chiefs, how will this season be remembered? It was a good season, building season. Will people look at the Ravens as the top team in the AFC again going next year? Probably not. One of the top teams, but probably not the best, which they were the best all year long this year. You would think the pressure would be on Mahomes and them because they're defending champs. But the pressure's on the Ravens.
I agree with that.
There's a lot of pressure on the Ravens. A lot of guys haven't proven it on this team. A lot of veteran guys on this team, but Harbaugh's proven. That was a while ago, though. It was Aaron Rodgers a while ago now.
It was Paul Russo and Nick Felice still in high school a while ago.
Yeah, since they won it all, the blackout game. It'd be interesting if they played the Niners again. Yep. Expecting a blackout. Conspiracies will be going all crazy about that.
There's already – have you seen the conspiracy already around England?
The logo?
Yeah. Okay.
I personally, just my opinion – I think if we get Ravens Niners, it's going to be a boring Super Bowl.
I don't think so.
He got the big rematch. I'm just not up for it.
It's not a rematch in that sense. It's been 12 or 11 years.
Well, the rematch from earlier this regular season.
Oh, my bad.
I know this is a hot take, but I want to see Taylor Swift take on the Lions in the Super Bowl.
T-Swift versus Eminem?
Yeah, not really.
You understand the pop culture battle this week, right, for T-Swift? She went from battling Haley Steinfeld last weekend to battling Kodak Black this weekend.
Ooh. It's
yeah.
Tough schedule.
Hey.
But
on the road, too. How about that?
But, Paul, this 2023-2024 season started with Chiefs-Lions. It has to end with Chiefs-Lions. Yeah,
save that portion of it. Save that portion of it for a minute here.
I
do agree with you about the pressure point thing, though, on Baltimore.
My last point here is I still just not believe it in Baltimore. And we're in the AFC Championship game. I don't believe in this team. I don't. The Chiefs, we've said this plenty of times, with the Warriors and, you know, even the Patriots. Until they lose, I will always believe in them. Mm-hmm. So, there we go.
And that's fair because Baltimore, this is their first championship game under Lamar Jackson, right? I think it was, their first playoff wins technically since, 2016 or 17 or something like that. Something weird. You had to go back to Flacco, I think, for that. So, I get it, though. I think that's where I do agree with you because, I mean, the thing, too, is, we've all have kind of not written off the Chiefs as the year has gone on, but you have to recognize that that clearly is not a Chiefs team that is the Chiefs that we are used to. Particularly on offense. So I think that's where that pressure element comes in. I agree with you 100% there. All right, you teed it up a little bit. Obviously, the NFC game, Detroit at San Fran.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think I don't know how to feel about this game because my head tells me San Fran, heart's telling me Detroit. I think it's a little bit closer than we think. And I always say it because, like I said, San Fran, I've lost some faith in them. They have not looked the same the past few weeks anyway, including last week with the playoffs. They were off for, well, the first stringers were off for 20 days or something like that. Like, I'm really intrigued, and I know I get a tough part about this, is like, we don't know until the coin flip actually happens. But, like, if Detroit comes out guns blazing in this game, God, it's gonna be tough sledding for San Fran. Even at home, that's going to be tough sledding. Because, you know, Detroit will have fans there, right? NFL, you always have your own people at those games, no matter where you are, type deal. But, like, you're going to have... And it's not going to be maybe so much within the stadium itself. But all of America, if Detroit comes out guns blazing and gets it going, the only people not rooting for them at that point will be San Fran fans. And that's a tough thing to overcome for a team when you are playing the darling of America, right? I mean, think about it. Like, go back to the basketball references here a little bit. But, like, think about March Madness. Like, we all love when the Cinderella teams are going.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously... It's a little bit different. It'd be a difference. This would be the case, I'd say, if Detroit was playing, like, Dallas, for example. And maybe not the best example, given Dallas got knocked out, you know, 2 weeks ago now. But like, think about that Butler versus Duke game years ago.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was rooting for Butler. Like, Nobody wanted to see Duke win. Like, and I don't think that's, like I said, I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case with San Fran. It's not like they're the most hated team in America. But, like, that's the vibe that you will have in this game if Detroit gets the jump.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking so much forward to this game. It reminds me of, like, you know, I'm a Pirates fan, Pittsburgh Pirates fan. It reminds me in 2013 when we took on the Cardinals. I felt like a lot of people were rooting for us over the Cardinals, who had recently won a World Series, 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had recently won one. So, you know, I get that same vibe, you know, going years without winning a playoff game to finally doing it, to go on this run. I'm feeling that again with the Detroit Lions. And it would just be a storybook ending if they could win the Super Bowl. And it started with beating Stafford to then winning another playoff game to beating the number one seed and then probably the best team in the league, maybe even defending champ. Doesn't matter who they get. They would get in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Be a great ending. I don't know. I just... Mike Shanahan's son there, Kyle. Kyle Shanahan has choked a lot.
I'm beginning to think he's overrated.
A little bit. He chokes a lot in the playoffs. He got him to the Super Bowl that one year. I don't know. There's a lot of pressure on them as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, like I said earlier in the show, it's been a while since the Niners won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey's never been to the Super Bowl. Neither has Brock Purdy, and I hope that stays that way. But I think the key here is first pick in the draft versus the last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. It was going to be Baker or Jared Goff. Didn't matter who won.
It's true.
Taking on Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know if that's ever happened in any sport.
We'll have our stat boy look it up.
Yeah, reality. But all Lions. Going to be rooting from the end. I just watched on TikTok Campbell getting his... Campbell. 3 years ago when he got introduced as a coach, the kneecap interview with the
love kneecaps.
With the music in the background. Got me hyped up. I think this guy is the perfect coach for the Detroit Lions, and he was on that 0-16 team. And you gotta remember the Bucks-Lions game was two winless teams going at each other. So
Dan Campbell, also a notorious New York Giant.
Yeah.
How about it?
I think they can do it, man. I really think we could be talking about Super Bowl Sunday. And the Detroit Lions are in the game.
So I think with that in mind, let's get to our picks. So last week, I went 2-2. Nick, you went 3-1. We're tied in the playoffs at 6-5.
Wait. I want to track that.
Okay.
You said earlier in the show, I caught it the last second. Did you say I picked the Bucks to win the game?
You did.
I did not pick the Bucks.
Yeah, you did.
I have to roll the tape. I'm pretty sure I picked the Lions. There's no way.
I listed as Tampa Bay on my sheet.
There's some controversy here, man. Some controversy. We got to roll the tape back. I don't think I would ever.
All right, so much like Chauncey Billups and the Blazers, you have your panties in a bunch and you're protesting.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Wait, so we're tied.
So we're tied at 6-5 apiece here. Okay.
You know my picks. I'm picking the...
Oh, I need to do what's proper here and let the people know. 3 p.m. on Sunday, Kansas City at Baltimore. Baltimore, 3.5-point favorite.
Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs as well.
What? No, you're not.
I am. What do you want me to do? Look, I agree with you 100%.
We're tied next week. It's going to be a lot.
I think the main issue is here we're both picking the same team on each game here because we both are in agreement with each other on how this is going to play out.
So you want to tie next week?
I don't want to tie next week.
You're picking Lions.
I am taking the Lions.
Yeah.
Hold on. 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, Detroit at San Fran. The 49ers are a 7-point favorite. I am taking the Detroit Lions.
Why, Paul?
I think.
But I'm going to pick Lions.
America gets it done. Okay,
it has to.
But like honestly, from a football, like I said, from a football perspective, San Fran hasn't done nothing for me like recently. Like they just haven't. And look, you can do the same thing with Detroit, and that's fair. But sometimes, Nick, destiny is destiny.
So we will be tied going to the Super Bowl. A lot of pressure on that second guy. Does he want to just take the tie? Or
I think we might have to do now. Obviously, this won't happen next week because of the week in between, but we might have to have a coin flip before we pick.
Yeah.
And
well, it's official. We're going to be tied.
Yeah. So, or not. You're the one who wants the protest.
There is going to be a protest after the show.
You might be one up. Are you sure you want that?
There's just not a part of me. I would pick the Lions or the Bucks over the Lions last week. It's just not a part of me.
Well, we'll run the tape back.
All
right. A couple quick hitters before we head out for the day. The Baseball Hall of Fame announcement yesterday. Adrian Beltre gets in on his first. So does Joe Mauer as well. Mauer get in by the skin of the teeth, I guess, right? I think it was probably like 4 votes, give or take. And then Todd Helton gets in on, I think, ballot year 7, I think it was. So deserving all 3. I'm not going to bore you. I've been banging the Todd Helton thing for a while. I go to 2 players, though, in particular that got robbed. Billy Wagner on his 9th year, most strikeouts by a left-handed reliever of all time. Statistically, the 4th best closer of all time, trailing Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, and I believe it's Raleigh Fingers, but I could be wrong. It might be Lee Smith, either one. But he has 1 more year left on the ballot. He's right on the edge. He somehow lost 3 votes from last year, which does not make a ton of sense to me.
Interesting.
And, again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I say the same thing every year about this, but Gary Sheffield left out on his final year. I just don't understand that one because a guy who took steroids brought his name up to get the heat off of him, and Sheffield left out. And a guy who has over 2,500 hits, over 500 home runs, over a 295, I believe the actual number is 297 career batting average, not in the Hall of Fame. His has got to be one of the more egregious ones. And unfortunately, he joins a group for me that's headlined by Dave Parker and Dick Allen, who are not in the Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, Dick Allen has passed. Dave Parker, I know, has been in some rough shape here in recent years. I know Sheffield did an interview recently. He looks all right, but it's one of these things with these guys where they get their just due, like Gil Hodges, but Gil Hodges has been long dead by the time he got inducted 2 years ago. Dick Allen, don't know if he'll get in through the Veterans Committee at all. I really hope Dave Parker does, except we missed that boat last time around for that. I just go back to it. It's a glorified museum. It's just a glorified museum.
You're sick of the writers.
I'm sick of some of them. These ones that think they're cute by just doing Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez on a ballot to prove a point. Even though, for me, they are Hall of Famers. I put them on my fictitious ballot, for example. But the ones who do that, or the ones who leave a blank ballot to prove a point, remove their vote. Like, they don't deserve to have a vote.
How many blank ballots were there?
I know of only like two this year. I could be wrong though. I have one. I know one's confirmed blank. My main issue, I think, with a lot of this is, and I go back to it, I said last year, say it again this year, I'd rather have the issue of, say, the Basketball Hall of Fame, where they're probably a bit too inclusive. Because at least with that, they aren't missing anybody. You know? Instead, we're missing a lot of people, and we have people in the Hall of Fame we probably shouldn't be in. And it's just bull. Like I said, the whole stance of that place is supposed to honor the excellence of those players and the game. And yet they have artifacts and pieces of memorabilia in there from players who aren't even in, who will never be allowed in. And they have known racists, known rapists, murderers, you name it, the worst of people in there.
Like, there's tons of A-Rod stuff in there.
And yet, right. But that's what I'm getting. They have a whole, like, shrine to Pete Rose in there. Like, it's just, it's a glorified museum. It's a glorified brick museum in Cooperstown. It's what it is at the end of the day to me at this point.
I gotta go back. I haven't been in a while.
Yeah, for me, it's been 10 years for me. I want to go back down, and I know it's very funny that I say it that way, but I want to go back down. I just like going. The fun part about Cooperstown, for those who probably haven't been there, honestly, for me, like, it is a Hall of Fame. Like, you go through the Hall of Fame, you get some goosebumps and stuff like that, but I like going through the storefronts of the baseball stores down there because it's just so much different stuff, and it's kind of, you know, I'm a big baseball card guy. There's a lot of card stores down there, so it's pretty cool down there. And yeah, anyway, back to you, Nick.
Yeah, they're just not going to get in. And Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, who were premiers at their hitting and pitching positions, They didn't get in. So guys like Gary Sheffield, A-Rod, not going to get in because of what they think.
But the Sheffield one for me is just where I find it to be the most egregious, because he never tested positive for steroids. He was only linked in the Mitchell report because one of the guys in there tried to squeal on Sheffield, and Sheffield never took anything. It's just it's incredibly frustrating.
And you're a Sheffield guy.
As a baseball fan, as a guy who wants to see the game move forward and not be stuck in the past, it's just frustrating that a guy who honestly would fit so well in today's game because of his charisma, his attitude, his playing style, period, full stop. Like, oh, it's just, yeah, it's frustrating.
I got one prediction.
Sure.
I want a prediction about you. Do you think Ichiro will be unanimous next year?
Unfortunately, no. He should be, but I just.
How many voters are there?
A few hundred.
400.
Something. Yeah. And that's the wild part about it, right? You'd think with a pool that big, they'd be able to figure it out, but they just don't. You know what I mean?
Ichiro should be unanimous.
Yeah, right. He should be. But, like, you can't. If they, and look, this is the part I always go back on, right? Like, I know the big one for our generation and this younger generation of people, the one that it always sticks out, right, is how is Mariano Rivera unanimous without, like, Derek Jeter? Well, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, if guys like Tony Gwynn and Roberto Clemente and Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and all these other players were never unanimous, like, you cannot have the faith in them to actually put these guys who are stone cold Hall of Famers in there unanimously. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
I'll give Mariano some credit. There should be a lot of unanimous players in the baseball Hall of Fame, but I give him credit because you see in today's game, closers just, they don't make it very long, and it's a tough position to play, and he's great at it.
You want
to
do a little trivia time before we move on? Trivia time.
Yes.
You know who the first modern closer was and what team he pitched for that gave him that title?
I'm going to go Ryan Dempster Cubs.
It was not.
I don't know.
The Pittsburgh Pirates with Seneca Falls' own Dave Justy.
Really? First ever closer.
He was born here, grew up a few years here, and then moved to Baldwinsville, but yeah.
And that's when the save got invented?
Well, the save had been technically around, but he was the Pirates. And, oh, man, who was their man? Was it Chuck Tanner at that point, or was it what's his name? Gene Mock. No, I think it might have been Chuck. I might be wrong manager-wise, but, yeah, it was the late 60s, early 70s when they were into that kind of playoff run year in and year out. And Yeah, he made an all-star team with Pittsburgh, too, in 71, the year they won the World Series.
So. Save doesn't get enough credit, man.
Eh. All right, a couple things before we get out of here. We'll do the actual news one first. The NBA kind of acted the past day or so. Heat made a trade, trading away Kyle Lowry in first-round pick to Charlotte for Terry Rozier to help the offense for them figure that out. It's going to be interesting because now you kind of see the Heat, the hot stove for basketball kind of pick up some heat a little bit.
Weeks away.
Yeah, I know I saw even an update today on Kuzma again, how the Wizards are going to have a pretty high price for him. The Knicks kind of got things kickstarted with that by trading for OG Anunoby.
Where were we when that happened?
I believe that we were inside the JMA Dome.
Yes. Tough second half, yes.
But, yeah, it'll be pretty interesting there. And then this was the one, though, that we need to talk about more of. The Bucks firing Adrian Griffin, who after 14 interviews finally gets his head coaching job, first one, fired after 43 games, 30-31, yes. Or 30-13. And I said this yesterday to our group chat, and we'll say it here. We're awfully quiet about Giannis in this situation.
Yes.
He was Giannis's pick. They catered to that pick. Didn't understand really why they fired Budenholzer in the first place. They had the ability to go and get, in my mind, the best coach on the market at that point because he was also available, and Nick Nurse. They didn't do that. They skipped over who, in my mind, was probably the second best option at that point in terms of head coaches, and Quinn Snyder, and went with Griffin. And things apparently, it depends what you want to believe. I think there's a little bit of a combo of everything, right? Like, stuff flowing-wise, like, sure, the record was great, but stuff flow-wise wasn't going good. Apparently, there might have been some stuff behind the scenes between him and the players involving locker room stuff during the in-season tournament that didn't go great in the players' eyes, and that kind of led to this. If that's the case, we probably should be having to talk about how Giannis is a lot like LeBron.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I know I jokingly said this to my dad yesterday because of who we root for. It's like, I'll see you in May again for Boston, Miami in the Eastern Conference Final because none of these teams can get it quite figured out just yet for whatever reason. It will be interesting. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. There's the quote-unquote what they call mid-tier teams, and like the Knicks and the Cavs this year still sticking around. I think the Knicks might be a little bit of a harder out this year, pending, I'd say, health of the bigs, but that's a different discussion for a different time in that space. But, yeah, the NBA finally, we hit the halfway point, and it's finally really kind of hitting that peak NBA moment season, as I call it.
Yeah, I heard the Bucks had the easiest strength of schedule to start the season, and now they got the hardest, so they made this move before they got into that part of their schedule. This firing has nothing to do with record-wise. I mean, they were 30-13. You can say what you want about their defense and how bad it was lately, but this is all about a locker room situation. You had Terry Stotts, who coached Lillard in Portland, resigned earlier in the season, which I didn't even know about
He didn't even make it a week.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. And so it's all in the locker room, and you don't want to piss off your superstar player. And Giannis seems like he got sick of this guy, so time to move on. They bring in Rivers. Rivers is noted for playoff choking, so unless he has a super team like he did in Boston that one year. And I mean, Rivers is a good coach, but he just has a track record that's not great. So
yeah, I know the hiring of Rivers baffles me. It just does. Especially because you could have just got him in the offseason then. But
his announcing career is on hold.
Yeah.
It was again. good run there.
Yeah.
But Giannis, I mean, he is LeBron. He wanted this coach. Now I don't want him.
Right.
Get rid of him. And he's just, you hate to see, I hate when they take over superstars. They coach their team. It was not a good look the last game they played. He was holding a clipboard, making a play.
Mm.
Not a good look.
No. All right, before we get out of here, Nick, my college football stats. Run through this quick.
Yes.
So I went 64-64-2 on the year.
Yes.
Okay. We'll do a quick conference rundown of the records, and I have a list of teams as well here. So in the ACC, I went 6-4.
How long did this take you?
30-ish minutes, give or take. just had to find it. It's been a busy couple weeks.
So start over.
Yep. So the ACC, I was 6-4 this year.
6-4.
In the American, I was 4-4. The Big Ten, I was 4-3. The Big 12, I was 7-4. The CUSA, I was 7-6. Independence, I was 3-0-1. In the MAC, I was 4-6. In the Mountain West, I was 4-9. A couple rough spots there for my G5 brethren.
You were MAC was what?
4-6.
You hate to see that. You love that comment.
We'll get to that in a second. The Pac-12, I was 6-5. The Sun Belt, 7-8. The SEC, my most bet conference, 11-8-1. And then I had two of the FCS conferences because of the playoff weekend. The Big Sky, 0-2, and the Missouri Valley, 0-2. So because of tied records and stuff, I have my 11 most bet teams here. They are Washington, West Virginia, Toledo, Ohio. Didn't mean to put it spatially like that, but Toledo and Ohio. Notre Dame, New Mexico State, Ole Miss, LSU, Liberty, James Madison, and Fresno State were my 11 most bet teams. My best team, the best two records I had bet-wise, were West Virginia and Liberty, both at 3-0.
Wow.
I will count Notre Dame in there as well. They were my 3-0-1 independents. My worst team, two teams that I mentioned because of the tie purposes here. My worst one was actually just Toledo at 0-3, LSU at 1-3, and Ohio at 1-3. So
what about Syracuse?
Syracuse I was 1-1 with on the year.
Oh, nice.
So, but yeah, not bad.
And
like
after all that, you evened out your money.
Well, sure in that space, but if you actually did the full-fledged betting, you would have won money with me this year. So, in theory, I don't know.
Say thank you to the person in our the person watching should say thank you to Paul.
Yeah, they should. Here's my green slip. Take it. But that'll do it for our.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
College I love stats for now.
Yeah, yeah. I maybe do a broader breakdown eventually, but that's all I got in the tank for now.
Nice.
So that'll take care of Fresh Takes in for today. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Sticking on the Wednesday train here, as far as I know for now. Nick,
shout out.
Are you shouting out this week?
Shout out. I'm gonna shout out my friend Evander Hummer.
He
just got his first fantasy basketball win in 3 years last week.
That he did.
He had lost 20 games in a row. 12 from this year, he's 0-12. And he lost 8 the last time he played 3 years ago. He ends his 20-game skid against Kurt Ireland last week. Shout out to Vander. Congrats on the win. You are eliminated from the playoffs, but congrats on the win.
We have one eliminated in that league and one locked in. So
yeah, it's getting down to us.
There we are.
It doesn't feel like the end of basketball season, but fantasy basketball, you got a long playoff ahead of us.
We only got what, like 3 weeks left regular season?
3 weeks left.
So, yeah, how about it?
And we got to cut those last 2 weeks of the NBA off. We can't play those.
Hell no. The Carolina
should be actually the last month.
The Carolina Vacation Boys are ready to go for their playoff push.
Yeah, it should be. Magic number, I think, is 2. You getting there?
Yeah. It's been a rough couple weeks.
You cut Dort this morning, I saw.
Yeah, well, that's because Cade Cunningham's back. So
how'd he take the news?
Not well. Luckily, he has his actual job to worry about. So, Nick, appreciate you as always. Appreciate everybody for listening and watching. Back at it again next Wednesday. We'll talk then. Enjoy the football, everybody. We'll see everybody next week.